The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
More than the guy or gal that's out there getting all the notoriety. It's the people that do things quietly that really make the difference in the world. So go out and check all that stuff out we've got with Mike and everybody else. We got the deepest vault of material out there. There's nobody, I'm sure, that's got what we got. It's amazing, everything we have. All the people have been on here. Also, too, I want to make a mention to Adam T. Glass and John Bruni, two good friends, family of the show, believe me. I just want to tell them I got in from lifting. John, you know the show we do top down on the rack. It was a few inches below top, and I did that. I hate using that word superset, but I set it with tire flips for a total of 60 feet. And I went up to 510, blew it up easy, and then took 80% of that and hit 400 real easy out of the hole where I would at parallel pin. The shoulders feeling dynamite, and today was a big, you know, to take that, even though the tire was 250 pounds, man, I was flipping that like a wild man, go back in, load up another set of 45s, and nail it. So what a great day, a little heavy calf work, heavy neck work, grip machine, and I was out of there. So I wanted to tell those guys because I know they appreciate it. And we did a show that was all about it maybe a week and a half ago. Go out and look up the show on motivationmuscle.com. It's called Inspiration, Motivation, and the Will. It's with Adam, John, and myself. Outstanding show, outstanding men, and I thank everyone. I thank Mike Bruce, everybody that's been part of this show in 2016 and even before. 2017 is going to be a brutal year when you see the stuff I got set up. Before I bring Mike in and give you a little info on him, for anybody that's been listening to the show, they know that we're doing excerpts from different books. I love this excerpt, and I've been doing this for like 7 days straight. It's called A Lifetime of Observations and Reflections on and Off the Court, Wooden, Coach John Wooden with Steve Jamison. It's called The Opinion of Others. Do not become too concerned about what others may think of you. Be very concerned about what you think of yourself. Too often we care more about a stranger's opinion of us than our own. Your opinion of yourself begins on the inside with your character. What do you believe in, and are you willing to stand up for it despite what others may think or say? It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. I want to read those two lines again for everybody. It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. And I'll add one thing that I say at the end of the show. My dad always said, may he rest in peace, be a leader, not a follower. He used to say that to me all the time. Son, be a leader, not a follower. Well, like I said, we've got Mike the Machine Bruce on here, and I'm going to give you a little information about this gentleman. Number one, he's a strongman performer, steel bender, motivational speaker, and he is the owner of the Machine Shop Gym. Mike, it's great to have you back, brother. I know that was a little long-winded, but it had a lot to it, and I know you'd appreciate that. So welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. It's always good being here, Eric.
It's great to have you, Mike. Whatever I missed, put it out there, and we're going to start our subject today, please.
Now, you covered it all. The only thing I'd add is the Mike the Machine site is no longer up. You know, I've kind of stepped back. I've been out of the public for a while, and I don't plan on really jumping back in the public. So yep. I've kind of got rid of that. Just if anyone okay. wants to get in contact with me, they can contact me through the netflixmachine.com or the machineshopgym.com.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm ready to go.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about what does it take to be a champion. So, Mike, I'll let you start off.
Well, I think that's a great topic to discuss. I don't think it's talked about a lot. Of course, everybody's going to have their own opinion on you know, what it takes to be a champion. I'll give you what I think it takes to be a champion, and then we can maybe discuss a little bit about how you have the opposite of what I think and how those people become champions anyway.
Sure.
I think a champion is someone that never quits, no matter how hard things get, no matter how many times you lose or how many times things don't go according to plan. You never quit. You keep pushing until you achieve your goal. I also think that being a champion, to me, is a lot about how you carry yourself and how you act. Now, the debate we could talk about is how you have some guys that act like clowns and have bad attitudes, yet they're still a champion anyway. Maybe on the in the ring or on the mat or whatever sport it may be that they play. I just am more. What gets my fire going is when I see someone that is has meekness to them, that because meekness is tough. Meekness doesn't mean you're weak. I think a man or woman that can be a gentleman or a lady and have confidence, but don't have to flap their gums and talk about how good they are, how bad they are, and be boisterous. I think that goes a lot further with being a champion, not only in sport but in life.
Well, look it. You got me 100% agreement. I said that when we did the introduction. I said, Mike has had major adversity for a few years, has come back from it, and the thing I like with you is you silently have come back. You're not out, like you were saying, being boisterous about it. A lot of people know, well, they don't know totally, but they are aware and they do know of what happened to you. And obviously, you don't have that quit in you. There's no doubt about it. And I don't think a lot of us do, Mike. I think a lot of us are very exceptional people that just go along in life and get it done. Don't need, like as you would say, to flap your gums, but help people out immensely. I mean, I see on Facebook what you're doing with all your clients. There's some people that obviously need some help. And they come to you with the idea that you can furnish the building process, but I'm sure they're also aware that they've got a big stake in this. They have major responsibility. They have to deal with things. You can't do everything for them. When you can do that with people, you create champions. I mean, they're looking up to you anyways. You're already a champion in their eyes. And it goes for a lot of people. It's the build. And, you know, when you can take your abilities and what you've learned and the achievements you've made and you can hand those off to people, no matter how they do it, I mean, they're not going to be pulling 650 off the floor or whatever. Maybe one of the kids coming in there will eventually do that. But the majority of these people have different needs. And the great thing I like about you and me and a lot of other people, we can take everything we've learned and we can bring it down to the smallest scale we have to and make people successful. See, that's just one of the components I see of a champion, but I think it's one of the most important components because you and I have talked about it. Everybody has talked about it with me on the show. It's not what you do so much, it's what you leave behind you to people. That, to me, is more important. So comment on any of that. Take that away, brother.
Well, you know, you said that I don't ever quit and I've, you know, with what I've been able to overcome. But one I want to touch on is that, you know, because at the beginning of this conversation, I said how you got some people that act a certain way and they might, you know, like if you take some, if you look in the MMA world or boxing,
yep.
You look at, let's take MMA, you've got, what's his face? The little Irish dude, Conor McGregor. Yep, and then right boxing, you've got Adrian Broner or Floyd Mayweather. Okay, so to me, granted, McGregor's great and Floyd Mayweather's great. I don't think Adrian Broner's great. But all those three all talk a lot. They all have boisterous personalities. They're arrogant. They're cocky, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yet they're all successful and they're all champions in their own. And I'm not saying putting Broner in the same level as Mayweather or McGregor, you know, Mayweather, Broner's not on Mayweather's level, never will be. And then, of course, MMA is totally separate from boxing. So, but what I'm getting at is those guys are still successful, even though their attitudes might be the opposite of what I was saying floats my boat.
Correct.
So what I'm getting to is when I was in high school, my ego was so out of control. I was so cocky. My mother used to tell me I was the nicest person she ever met. To open my mouth, I became the ugliest person she ever met. And I've never forgot that because I was so cocky.
Yep.
That I was only wrestled freshman year. Then I got kicked off the team sophomore year. I got kicked off the team junior year because of my attitude.
Yep.
And I was starting wrestler for 171. And I begged to go back on the team senior year. So senior year, I was able to finish out the season. And instead of placing in the top three of the state, I ended up taking sixth as an alternate because of my attitude. And so the coaches, I have newspaper articles on my wall in the gym, kind of in the corner. I don't like my gym's about my people, not about me. But I have these articles that says, leading up to the season of senior year, it says, you know, Mike Bruce is a leading candidate for his toughness and work ethic, not very experienced because I had missed 2 years.
Sure.
So they still had this idea that, hey, this guy might be able to do something, but I didn't because my ego got in the way. So I was my own worst enemy. So I didn't end up having success in fulfilling the potential of what was looked on me when I was in high school until after the Marine Corps. So in the Marine Corps, I became the honor graduate out of Platoon 2170, Hotel Company, and Boot Camp. So I was number one, chosen by, you know, it wasn't given to me. I was selected by the drill instructors. Then after that, in 1996, I started training with submission wrestling they didn't even call it MMA back then. And then in 97, I started having success, and that's when I became a five-time champion between 1997 and 2000 in MMA and submission wrestling. So why is that? You know, that's what I'm saying we can talk about is, like, you got some people that have this attitude where you watch them on TV, you just want to see them get someone, you know, choke them out or knock them out, but yet they're still winning. So if you have the talent, you can still act like a knucklehead and act like a clown, or you can have another guy. If you look at, like, for MMA, like, I don't follow it, but if you look at Fedor, the great Fedor from years ago, there's a guy that was very stoic and quiet, never talked trash, but he was one of the best. So why is that? Why do you have two different people of different – I mean, not two different people, two different attitudes, but yet they're both champions, you know? So,
well, that's what I wanted to ask you. What do you think was the turning point with you?
With me?
Yeah, as far as, you know, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with having a little cockiness. I believe it's a good thing. You know, I equate that with confidence, but obviously –
See, I don't at all. I don't like that.
Well,
I think opposite.
Okay, well – What do you think, though, was your turning point where suddenly, you know, you weren't on the wrestling for a few years and then, you know, you got into it your senior year and then you went on and succeeded big time? Was it the military? Was it just becoming settled with yourself? Because a lot of times people like that got a lot of other stuff going on. What do you think was a major factor in your turn?
Well, as you know, I came from a real dark child.
Right,
We've covered that in the past. I believe that when I went in the Marine Corps, I learned the hard way that I was not all that I thought I was, that there's always someone bigger, better, faster, stronger, which was obvious during wrestling season because I got my tail kicked. You know, why did I not take state championship or the top three? Why didn't I?
Right.
You know, was it preparation or what? So when I went in the Corps, they teach you real quick that they break you down and build you back up.
Yep.
And I saw this drill instructor we had named Sergeant Stroud. He was this little tiny dude who's now, he retired a sergeant major. I still talk to him to this day. I hate Facebook, but that's one of the great things about it.
Yeah.
And he retired as a sergeant major. He was a little tiny guy, and he had this real gravelly voice. He's like, Bruce, you want to go throw hands, Bruce? Because he was a Golden Gloves boxing champion.
Yep.
And I used to look at the way he stood. He was only little, probably about 5'7". But the way he stood and carried himself, everywhere he walked into a place, because there was other DIs too, but garnered might be the right word.
Yeah.
Not everyone garnered attention when they walked in a room. Even the other DIs when they walked in a room. When drill instructor Sergeant Stroud walked in a room, everybody, like, noticed him. He didn't say a word.
Yep.
He wasn't a muscle guy. He was a little tiny dude. He reminded me of, like, a Wolverine, but because he was just so, you know, he was just a bad man. But he just never had to talk. But he had this swagger to him. But I just learned that, you know, it's better to not wear your attitude on your sleeve and be a gentleman and be humble.
Right.
And let your actions speak a lot of words. And I don't want anybody to take this that I'm some, you know, wimpy guy that's a pacifist. And that's not what I am. Don't kid yourself. I wasn't always a saved guy. I'm just saying that I have nothing to prove to anybody. My actions can speak and prove to you what I can and can't do. I just believe that you should have a meekness to you, a submissiveness, be nice. If you're loving life, why be such a knucklehead and be cocky and bring attention to yourself? That's just not my style.
No, and we see that. I mean, you know, you hit it with Facebook and everything else. I look at some of the stuff there, and you and I both know, a year from now, do you think you're going to even see probably a half of these people out there? Absolutely not. Whatever they're into, it will eventually snuff them out, or obviously, you know, let me put it to you this way, Mike. I love girls, you know, other than lift and business and all that. I think of most of them on a very high plane, obviously. But I got to tell you, man, how many more times I go out and look at somebody with their pants half down or they're doing a top shot and I got to look down the front of their shirt? If that's what you need to do to get your notoriety or attention in the training world, how long are you going to last? You're not going to last long. Nobody really gives a damn after a while, you know? And it's like, how about going on your merit? How about going on what you've created and built in your life? And most of all, how do you treat people? How do you examine what you are and then pass that on to other people in a positive way? And most of all, what are you going to leave behind you? That to me is, to me, I'm talking me, it's very important to me. And I'm not saying it with an ego either. What I'm saying is, what is it you've done in life that is so good that it will bear witness for eternity? That's very important to me. The business, everything. Because, you know, we talk about this a lot on the show. You know, people don't realize there's always somebody watching you out there. Whether it's your family, it might be just somebody you don't even know, you got nieces and nephews, somebody is always watching you and how you conduct yourself, how you carry yourself, how you speak to people, what type of language you're using when you talk to people. Is every other word the F word? Is that how you got to get your point across? See, people like that I shut off to. I don't even listen to them. Usually I walk away from them now. I don't need to hear that. I know the language. I've spoken it before. But it doesn't impress me in the sense of somebody that has those characteristics of a champion. You said it before. How do you carry yourself? How do you walk? How do you make eye contact with people? Do you shake hands with people and have a firm handshake? That's what my father always said. You know, my parents were honest all the time. How do you hold your fork? Do you put a napkin on your lap? Do you shovel your food into your face? Because I can remember my dad and mom saying constantly, you're going to come to a point in your life where you're going to have to meet people in a restaurant, and you're going to be the one that's going to be looked at like everybody else. And you want, I'll tell you something right now. When I used to do all the IBM mainframe stuff, they'd take you out because they'd want to schmooze you to buy something, okay, some type of software. And my mom and dad hit it right on the head. The majority of people I was out with lunch, most of them didn't put their napkin on their lap. Most of them didn't know how to hold a fork. And you know what? The funniest thing of it all was this. They used to bend over and practically put their face in their food. So the stuff I used to laugh at when my parents would say and couldn't believe it was true, it was amazing how you'd see that. Now, most people say, well, does that matter? It does matter. It speaks to you what you are portraying. And when we're talking about champion, we're not only talking about the champion in the gym, we're talking about the champion in the real world out there where it is dog eat dog. And it's a lot of clawing and fighting over things that most of the stuff I don't even care about anymore. But when you go out in public, you're out, you know, Mike is married. I have a girlfriend. It reflects on what you are and who you're with. So I'll give it to you, but comment on any of that stuff, sir.
Well, you know, you said a lot of good things. Like, I want to know, where did all the real men and real women go? when did we become a society full of puss cakes that have entitlement syndrome, that think they've earned the right to do this, earned the right to do that?
Yep.
I just spoke at a school and I told all those kids, I said, listen, This is how you become a champion. You sit there, you be quiet, you open your ears, and you listen.
Yep.
And you repeat the process, and then you ask questions. Because the most powerful weapon we have, which was taught to me in the Marine Corps, is our mind.
Yep.
But there's such lunacy out there today that it sounds to me like a lot of these people, if they had a brain, they'd take it out and play with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now what's considered like cool to these people is to act tough,
yeah,
have potty mouths, you know, and I'm not some prude, don't get me wrong. I'm just a broken down, salty 42-year-old that's been around the block for a while. I found my way, and even back when I first got my start in this game of, you know, strength and beginning known on social media was in 2007 with Bud Jeffries. My first
right.
video was 2006. And now these people seem to think they can just question every single thing you do because that's what's happened in our society. So when I was in the school, I said, you young people are the prime age right now where you think you're going to question authority, because it was a Veterans Day performance.
Yep.
So I said, just so you should respect veterans, you should respect these teachers, because these teachers weren't mandated to come here. They chose to be teachers and come deal with you, and most of you, or if not most, most of you will be good. Then you've got a percentage of act like thugs
yep.
that want to wreck this teacher's day and cause her all sorts of mass chaos, cause her or him. I said, you need to sit there, shut your trap,
yep.
be quiet, and listen to what they have to say, and maybe, just maybe, you'll actually learn that your brain is something to use and not to play with. And the real men and real women, I think, are just gone, because you said something about how come women, when they have their pants hanging off their hips,
yeah.
their chest hanging out, that's not a lady.
Nope.
I think my wife is awesome. We've been together 10 years, but I think that what's attractive is when a woman, you know, covers us, not covers her whole self up, but I'm saying, like, leave something to the imagination.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you fly out there, it's not, you're just like, hey, here I am. You're not going to attract the right kind of girl, guy, or if you're, you know, you're going to be looked down upon. And now to some, they might think, this guy, Mike, you know, his views, he's like some, what do they call me on YouTube? I've had knuckleheads call me, White Knight. They call me a mangina.
So
they
what?
Call me, all this other stuff because I have a lot of videos called Maximized Man about being a maximized man, being a real man,
yeah.
building you, building, find out who you are and build you and work on you. That's when I told you at the beginning, like, I've stepped away from public again because I can't stand half these puss cakes out there that want to read their science books and then go knock you or knock me for something that I've done, yet these wimps can't even duplicate even close to what I've done. And I don't say that arrogantly. It's not just me. It's other people. So I just shut myself off. I'm like, you know, my life is just too blessed.
Yeah.
My gym is good. And I try to tell these young people, you know what's tough? You want to be tough? Here's how to be tough. Start a business. And
yeah.
for the first 3 years, like I did,
yep.
you don't make any money because you got to put money into the business. I wasn't loaded with money. People didn't say, hey, man, let me sponsor you for 20 grand.
Yeah.
I started from absolutely nothing. I had $247. That's what I did. And the rent was $300. And I didn't make nothing. You want to know what's tough? I tell these kids, I said, you do your business, save money, and work. All these people, well, I have no money. I'm going to get a check for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, here, jabroni? Go get a job, and in 2 weeks, you're going to have freaking money.
Yep.
So what you do is, toughness is discipline. That's tough. Tough is put money in a bank, pay your bills, have money left over so you can take your wife out or your significant other or whatever it may be. That is tough. To manage your finances, have money put away, do what you want to do and live the life you want to live, that's how you become tough. There's other crap with, I'm a badass, I'm this, I'm now I'm going to smash you in the mouth, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That doesn't impress me the least, and that's why I don't train fighters.
Yep, yep. Well, I'll tell you something, Mike. I'm right at the point where you were 3 years ago, okay? And we are hanging by the skin of our teeth, but we always find a way to get through it, and we are in the process of doing major things between now and the end of the year. People don't realize, because some of the things that have been said to me, I'm sure they've been said to you, well, if you're doing so well with the show, why aren't you making a lot of money? And I look at them, and you know what? It used to be I'd even argue with them and want to, like, just take their head off. But it's like, you know what? I've learned one thing, and I pass this on every time this comes up. And I don't charge you 10 grand for an MP4 to download. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're concentrating on what other, I read it before with John Wooden's book, if you're worrying about the opinion of others, and they've taken your soul pretty much for the time being, how can you devote yourself to your business, to your wife, to your girlfriend, to your working out? Because I'll tell you right now, besides having two great parents, Jimmy, who was one of the biggest blessings we've ever had in our lives, to seeing how a family had to stay safe, so close-knit, and yet they still had four other siblings to bring up besides a brother that needed massive attention. And then the next step in life was discovering weights and discovering myself more than anything. The feel of the first time of touching that bar with those leaky sand weights all over the floor and that wooden bench my uncle built for me, it was eureka. And it's been eureka for many, many decades now through the tears and the hurts and the failures and the pluses and the minuses and the championship qualities. Why the hell do you think I'm here right now? Well, lost a job, a major job that paid major money, man, and no more. I was not going into it anymore. I couldn't do it. I couldn't sit in a cubicle anymore. I had lots of freedom, but it just was over. It was done. It afforded me a hell of a life. That's why I'm still here today, living on my savings. I'm so dedicated to what we do here at Motivation and Muscle, how we want to pass along our knowledge. Mike and I are passing real life experiences. I don't care if you go out and buy a book. I encourage you to. If you want to read, I would try to read a book every week. I try to read it now. It's almost impossible with the hours I'm putting in. But if not, I listen to something on YouTube of somebody I admire and has made it in the world. So what I'm trying to say here is this. Mike is right. Go out and open up a business. Get your balls kicked in every day for a while. See how it feels. See if you can come back from it. See if I always say, I've been busted down on my right knee so many times, it's a wonder I have a kneecap. I'm not joking when I say that. This is serious shit. And the ones that stand out there beating on their chest, walking around in stores with like their lats whipped out, and they're looking at you like they're going to punch your teeth down your throat. You know what I say? I welcome you. Maybe you will kick my ass through the ground, but if you fuck around with a guy like me, you could get in some serious trouble. That's why I mind my own P's and Q's. I speak when I'm spoken to, but I learned this through martial arts as a kid. My instructor always said, when you meet new people or you go into a new situation, the best thing to do is sit there and listen. Because when you listen, you can choose whom you want to associate with. Or maybe you don't want to associate with anybody. You kindly and politely excuse yourself and leave. These are things that I've met up in my life, and I meet up with them every day. There's some things I'd love to tell you about right now. Mike knows about it, about some stuff with the website and many other things that have had me hogtied in a lot of ways, but we're almost ready to alleviate that. You have to be ready for a lot of things that are going to get thrown at you, but I promise you, as you beat all these challenges, and it might take you a long time to do it, could happen right away. Sometimes things just don't always go as you have planned, but I'm here to tell you, and encourage everyone out there that, you know what, there is nothing, and I repeat, nothing that you can't beat if you fully want to beat it. It's going to be up to you, but as Mike said, and I'll say it, we are living in the time of some of the biggest pussies in the world, all right? And they've passed it on to these kids and feminized them so much, like Mike said. Where are all the men and women? That you got to look. You got to look very, very hard, folks. Go ahead, Mike. I've gone long, but I laid a lot of stuff out there. Anything you want, brother, say.
I mean, like I said, it's each their own. I just think that, you know, when you look at a champion, what are you looking at? Are you looking at, you know, what they did on, you know, on in their specific sport,
yep,
or the thing that they won at? Or are you looking at how they are as a person? I just tend to be the type of guy that looks at the overall picture.
Yeah.
I was not, to go back, you know, to boxing, because again, I never played any sports except wrestling and boxing, so I don't know anything about baseball and football, the other stuff. If you look at Floyd Mayweather Jr., he is not my type of guy. I think he did a lot of picking and choosing to win the fight guys at the right time. He's not my style, but, and I don't like his attitude.
Right.
Even though he does do supposedly a lot of stuff for charity, I just don't care for him and how he portrays himself. And he could be a great guy for all I know. I don't really care.
Right.
But you can't take away from the fact, even though it's not my style, that he was great at what he did, no matter what, or he wouldn't have been able to do what he did, you know? So just because I'm saying, hey, I don't like this type of attitude on a person, doesn't mean that someone else might not like that. It's just not for me. I think when I think of a champion, I think of someone that is, like above all else. You know, he's like the epitome. Like if you look at Mike Tyson, who was one of my favorite fighters, as a fighter, I say.
Yeah.
I like the style of fighting. Like I thought Floyd Mayweather was like watching paint dry. I think watching Tyson was exciting. Just like Rocky Marciano.
Oh,
but
my favorite.
I didn't care for Mike Tyson how he conducted himself out in the public. You see what I'm saying?
Well, in the end, Mike, it killed him.
Well, yeah, but then he supposedly got squared away. But I'm saying you can still, you know, what I'm just giving, again, this is just my opinion, and people might not even care about my opinion. That's cool. But since we're talking about it, I liked Mike Tyson the way he fought.
Yep.
But I didn't care for how he conducted himself with his character. So you look at Ali and Joe Frazier. I'm not a Muhammad Ali fan, but not even close.
Nope.
But I liked Joe Frazier.
Yep.
Why? Well, Joe Frazier, I liked his style of fighting, but he wasn't a talky, mouthy kind of guy. When you look at Ali, of course, as a fighter, I thought he was amazing. But I didn't care for the way he I don't like guys that are real loud and mouthy.
Yeah.
But does that take away from all the good things he did when he was alive, or, you know, peace and all that? Of course not. No,
right,
it's just
right.
Not my cup of tea when someone talks. I'd rather see a guy do their specific sport and just do it and have their actions say, wow, you know. But hey, that's what makes the world go round, and everybody's got their own thing that that they like. I just would hope that if some of the nice comments that have been made about me, it always flatters me. I'd hope someone would say, hey, you know, that guy was – he's like, when I speak, when I do shows, like, well, he's very blunt and to the point and open. But one thing you can say is that I'm not fake.
Exactly.
I'm not a gimmick. You
yep.
know,
yep.
The machine is who I really am. Again, after that injury, I forgot who I was and I lost who I was. But then I found out that Mike the Machine is just me with the volume turned up. It's not a gimmick. And
yep.
I'm grateful that that Bud and Dennis thought of that name, and that, you know, when I speak, that's who I am. I just try to – I'm kind of boring. I don't do a lot of things. I just like being with my wife and my dogs and being in my gym with my people. And I like to give everybody the benefit of the doubt and be nice and be respectful, because I've got nothing to be cranky about, even when I couldn't walk for 3 weeks, you know. And then when I got to use the walker, I was miserable, hated life. But, you know, I never complained. My wife even said that – I know I'm going a little long, but I remember when one of the most respected doctors here in town, because my wife was a nurse practitioner, and he asked her, he said, hey, how's the machine? He calls me the machine. He said, how's he doing? And she said, I really don't know. I think he's in a lot of pain. He just lays on the floor and grunts and groans and has tears come down his face, and he grips the floor with his hands, and I don't know. And the doc told her, he said, you know, that his injury is one of the worst injuries you could possibly have. Unless you, you know, broke vertebrae or something along that nature, because I was so close to losing the use of my left leg. And she goes, oh, my gosh, it's that bad. He said, yes. She goes, well, he never complained. You know, was I in immense pain? It was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. But I didn't complain, because there was nothing that she could have done for me. It doesn't mean that I'm tough. It's just you can always try to find the good and the bad. And I was looking at it, even I was laying there, you know, biting my lip and crying on the floor, that – hey, I'm still alive, you know, B, there's people with worse situations than I, and here I am, I'm not, you know, it didn't hit my fecal sac, because they thought if the injury was any lower, I would have lost use of my bladder, like going to the bathroom. I'd use the bathroom on myself, and I would have had to have emergency surgery. So I was thinking about that in between crying. I'm thinking, well, I'm not peeing and pooping myself.
Right.
I can walk, thankfully, soon. You know, I'm not losing my use of my left leg. I tried to find the positive in it, even though it was really, really challenging. So I think that, you know, it's just a mindset, and I don't know the answers to why some guys that might not be your cup of tea, that might have attitudes, they do well, and then you have other guys that are, you know, quiet, that get the crap kicked out of them, or they lose. I don't know what it is. I think, again, it all comes down to each of our individual strengths and weaknesses, but I can just say that my idea of a champion is to be quiet and listen and ask questions and then go out and perform and train your tail off and whatever it is you may be doing. And just I just prefer the gentleman. I prefer like wrestling. I prefer the baby face over the heel.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty much what I got to say.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, and like I said in the beginning, adversity builds champions. Obviously, failure builds champions. Obviously, goals build champions. But the biggest thing of all is this. You build yourself from within, your character. That's one of the biggest things you could ever do. And all, you know, you were talking about, you know, authenticity. I mean, I've heard that so many times about me on this show. And it's not about patting myself on the shoulder. But when people will contact me and say, it feels like you're sitting in the same room with me, I know I'm doing something right, but I'll tell you what. Other than we might get a little bit more fired up off the air, if you met me right now, there'd be no difference than I'm talking to you through Skype, Mike. That's the thing. And the thing that people are starving for is authenticity. I think there's more people out there that are so sick of the gimmicks, the false hope, the lies, the never coming through. The smile on the face, but you know when you turn around, look out. It's going to be right between your shoulder blades. Things that have been around forever, it's never going to go away because of human nature. But you have the choice to either act that way or not. And that's the most important thing. When you're walking in and you're saying to kids, basically, you know, stop buying into the pussified world. You know, be more than a man. Learn to lead. All these things my pop told me for years. I used to be like as a kid, yeah. Like my college professor, Frank Klein, I say here, repetition. There's nothing like repetition in your life, and it can be positive or it can be negative. What do you want? That's the whole thing. And everything is a choice, and you can choose to be a champion or you can choose to be a loser, if you want to put it bluntly. That's up to you, but don't go and ask the people that are busting their balls every day to come rescue you. Now, I want to make this clear. I have never said no to anybody that needs help, whether I've got a dime in my pocket or I've got $1,000 in my pocket. And right now, it's mainly dimes. I still wouldn't say no to you. Why? Because I want to see everybody succeed. But when I tell you that, I mean it when I'm going to frame it this way. You're going to succeed because we're going to put something together to make you succeed. But the only way you are going to succeed is it falls on top of your lap. I'll be there to always help you, to encourage you, but if you're not going to give me the other 50%, we part ways. And you can go to somebody else or you can just drop out. I know a lot of people hearing this because the new word around always now is mean. Well, if you got to be mean, you got to be mean. I got news for you. I've had shit said to me that probably in today's world with a lot of people, they'd go in the fetal position and start moaning. All right? That's not me. You know, we grew up in a pretty rugged Italian family. There were things that you just didn't step out of, all over the line with. You know, you knew better. And it's done me fine. It's allowed me to do major things with lifting, to go into an entrepreneur. I've said this before. I know my father's with me, but my father would be so proud of me right now, sitting here with me. Because I've said this on a lot of shows. You know, I'll equate it to the Godfather, but we were very Italian like that. The consigliere was the main person that the Don trusted. And I'm not saying I'm the Don, but if my father was here right now, it'd be dynamite. Because there's a man that had world experience and did a lot of things that I'll never do. And I could talk to my father and never worry about it going anywhere else. Not that I'm telling him anything, but you know, and if I asked him about the business, whether I agreed with him or not, he'd tell me. And my father was damn blunt. And those are the championship qualities he and my mother built in me. And it was up to me as a grown man to take it further through weightlifting, through a business, just being someone that you can go to, lead. And that's why we do the show here. You know, we got Mike on and many other people. I said before, we've been through a lot of stuff, might be different in a lot of ways, but when we come together, it's pretty much the same deal. We try to tell you and motivate you and push you and do the things you need to do to make you an outstanding individual. You know, we aren't ordinary here. We're extraordinary, and that's what it's all about. And when you can come to terms with those things and get your head out of your ass and stop feeling sorry for yourself, you would be amazed at what you can accomplish. Mike, summarize anything, give out any, you know, obviously your contacts, I'll give mine out, and if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it. Take your time, anything you got to say.
Well, I think this was a real good topic. I wanted to discuss it. I think we talked about, you know, what it takes to be a champion, and, you know, the champions just, you know, tuck their tail between their legs, put their head down, and go run away when things get tough. And yeah, I'll close with this. You know, I think regardless of whatever persona you like on somebody, whether it's what I said about having a meekness and a submissiveness and being kind and being a gentleman, that, you know, you don't talk, you just let your actions speak, or if you like the guy that's loud and boisterous and cocky and whatever it may be, both of those types of people have all gone through crisis to get where they are. And my thing is, when you go through a crisis, would you rather go through that crisis with, we use knights, for example, a knight whose armor and shield is polished, to, you know, it's pristine, you can see a reflection in it, or would you rather go with a knight that looks like he's been run over by a bulldozer?
Yep.
I don't know about you, but I'd rather go with the knight that's been run over by a bulldozer, and here's why. Because it shows that guy and or girl has already been through hell, already failed many, many times, but they never quit, and they're able to overcome and achieve their goal. Therefore, they became a champion. So I would much rather serve next to somebody like that than pretender that's all pristine and shined up. And it's got a great, great speech and great talk with their mouth, but yet they've got nothing to back up what they say.
Yep.
So no matter which one you like, just go throughout your day and your life and know who you are, what you stand for. And when others bow, you stand. And when others stand, you bow if it's for what you believe. But you have to know who you are. Because I know who I am. I lost who I was one time. But I know I'm just another average guy like everyone else, even though I think average is boring. But I'm the same as everyone else. I just found my way, and I know who Mike the Machine is. So I appreciate you having me on, and it's always good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I'll tell you what, very interesting topic. It's something that you could do show after show with. There's never enough information. There's never too much information, I should say, to ever go on to this. But before I go and give you all my stuff, I'll tell you what. I've said this, and I'll say it at the end of the show. Everyone has greatness in them. The difference is we'll stand behind you. That, and I mean that wholeheartedly. I know there's a lot of people out there searching. I hope they find the Mike Bruces of the world and the Erics of the world and everybody else out there, because I'm telling you right now, we're there. You just got to take a little initiative and go and find it. It's up to you. This is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com and check out the two ebooks we have. They're free. Just leave your email address and you're on your way. We talked about mental. We talked about physical. We always do. And obviously, don't forget the innate within you that builds your character. Also, too, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got. We thank you. Everybody knows we're out on streaming radio. We are in multiple directories out there. I'll give you a few. Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha. Anybody that has the ability to get podcasting on their radios, the new cars have it. That's where you can find us. AHA, it's called Aha. Also, if there's a show you'd like Mike and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at nightcap.r.com. And I'll leave you with multiple things here. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of inspiration. 5 words, as we know, can change your life. Also, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Lift it, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as a great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Obviously, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem and who's a guest on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone flowing out of my speakers. We'll say that for the next 28 years, Russell. We just celebrated 2 years in September. Frank Klein, my greatest teacher in college. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My father, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor for years. We lost him 2 years ago to cancer, who was so instrumental in pushing me with this business because he felt I had the talent and the ability to pull it off. He'd walk every patient in the door and say two words. Keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself and not smile. John would be so proud and happy that I'm carrying on that legacy. And John, my dad, and Frank, I love you all. You're great men, and you are more to me than you'll ever know. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 100 or more of your friends about us, because we're not going to knock on the door. We're going to kick the thing right through. Join the family. Join the revolution. And, Mike, before you leave and before I sign off, I want to thank you for being on here in 2016. It's been a blessing to me and the show and everybody out there. You're a man of class and honor, and I hope you'll be with us for the next 28 years, sir.
Well, thank you. I'll be on anytime you want me. I'll be happy to come. Like I told you, there's certain people I'll speak with and certain things I won't do, and one of those shows I will do is yours. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely, sir. Well, for Mike Bruce, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We'll have Mike on in the new year. Everybody, happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Mike, and your wife and any family members. All I can tell you, everybody, and I say this over and over, you all have greatness, and we're right behind you, so don't ever forget that. So for Mike Bruce, this is Eric Fiorello. We will talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and remember, like I said, go out and do something special, man. The world is waiting for you. Go out and fulfill what you need to do. Thanks, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.